All please rise.
Join us in a salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. The clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Okay, we have a previous excuse for the one councilperson, but I'd love to entertain a motion to excuse Councilperson Hansen.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so moved and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, our prayers are with you. Hopefully everything comes all right. Okay, and this is the public comment period. This is the period where a member of the audience can come speak to the council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything that's on your mind. We'd limit you to 3 minutes. I'd like to get your name and address if possible. So would anyone like to address the council on any comment that's not there? Anyone? Okay, no takers. We'll move on in the agenda. Okay, council, the consent agenda is before you.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, moved, and I think Councilperson Olson beat Councilperson Birch. She's just a little bit faster, so it was close. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. We're moving on. Now, a great thing, an introduction of a police officer. Proud to be expanding the force. Our chief will do the introduction. Welcome, sir.
Good evening, Council. It's always a pleasure for me. I'll take this opportunity to tell you that or introduce that we drive 216,000 miles a year. The average commuting distance one way for an officer is 10 miles. So every year we go through two cars at 100,000. Next year there will be six cars over 100,000 miles. Our oldest car is 159,000 miles. We need three cars every year just to replenish it. And our office hours are 6 hours a day because we are understaffed. Given that, it's a pleasure for me to introduce a new officer. We have, of course, the finest cadre of professional officers anywhere in the county, in the state, in the nation. Our emphasis in the last several years, of course, has been on height. We only hire you if you are over 6 foot six. But we have decided this year to internationalize. And so we already have a fellow from New Zealand, the second cousin to The Rock, with a wonderful accent. We now have another fellow with a wonderful accent, our newest officer. He's from South Africa. First, I want to introduce, just to have them stand up and to let's acknowledge them, his wife and two children. Yana, his wife, is in the cardiac unit at St. Joe. Since I've had open heart surgery, I love these people in the cardiac unit. And these two wonderful kids of his, Max and Nicholas. And if you'll stand up. Thank you very much. Now we'll get to the person of note. Mr. Cowie, Wayne Cowie, was born in Cape Town, South Africa. And he came over to the United States in 2001, went to Sacramento where his wife was a nurse and he an EMT. In 2003, he came to Bellingham where his wife now at St. Joe, and our new officer is a licensed practical nurse. He's going to be such an addition to our special weapons and assault teams where we need to have that medical capability as we enter areas that are considered too hazardous for firefighters. He became a correctional deputy at Whatcom County in 2009, spent 3 years there, and in 2011 fulfilled his heart's ambition of being a police officer when he went to the University of Western and became an officer there in 2011. He enjoys rugby and cricket, so that we have in the World Cup, I think, New Zealand and South Africa, is it what their contenders?
Canada,
so, yes. So Carl Kennelly, with biceps the size of our legs, doesn't deter you at all from supporting your country, and that's great. Let me bring Wayne up. I just want you to hear him and know just how sophisticated we are. And Councilmember Ingram, you'll want to know that he was also at one time the chef in Parliament. It's sort of like the community breakfast. Cape Town. So without any more to say, help me welcome our newest officer. Wayne, let's hear it.
First, thank you for having me here. Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for me. I brought my family to Ferndale, moving from Bellingham, and initially from Sacramento and then from South Africa. But we've been in Ferndale probably for the last 7 years now. We love the community. It's been really good to us. My boys go to school here. While we've been here, I'm just really happy to have the opportunity to be employed at Ferndale Police Department, to actually work in the community where my family is, where my boys are being raised. So I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for having me. It's been really good. So.
You and I should talk one of these days. My father was born in Johannesburg.
Not the best place, but
not the
best.
Thank you. That really worked wonders when I was trying for my cryptic clearance in the Air Force.
Definitely.
How long have you been an officer?
I was first from the hospital where I worked in the ER as a LPN. I got hired at the county jail. I took a position as a corrections deputy because they offered. I initially applied for a patrol position, but they offered me the corrections position, which I thought was good experience, just getting my foot in the door type of thing. So I worked there for 3 years. In that time, no positions opened up for the patrol, so I took a position at Western, and it was like over 100 applicants. Yeah, so I was very fortunate getting hired there as well. Worked there for 3 years, and went on 4 years, and then I got hired at Window just recently. So in total, about 7 years of law enforcement experience, which, I think a lot of my time in the jail was actually more valuable than being at Western, because I'm running into so many people that actually recognize me and that I recognize them. So, it's been good. So.
Thank you.
Things is, I think two departments already had passed and wanted to hire him. He had already passed all the background, but he chose us. And the second thing, we're going to have an opening again because we're losing Sky Ortiz, an officer, and he will be leaving in the next couple of weeks because of a family situation, and he's already hired with another department. That's a great loss, so we'll be looking for another officer soon. Thank you very much.
Well, make sure, see if we can get an Irish accent.
Right.
You can get an Irish accent this time.
Council, I want to divert a little bit, but on the same subject, because obviously I'm a history buff, but you have to look back and learn from history. And I think it's wonderful. Some of you are still on council when this council made a decision to kind of go in a little different direction than the administration and pay our police officers more. And for those of you who are new, Ferndale on a regular basis would train officers, get them ready, and then lose them to other departments because we were low pay. And some of you council members are still here where we took a brave stance to raise the pay and raise the quality of the Ferndale Police Department. And help me if I'm wrong, Chief, I think our last six hires have been experienced police officers that we no longer train. We don't lose them to other officers. We get them from else. And so to the council that were there and the council here and past council, a wise move by Ferndale and one we should all be proud of. So we don't mind stealing them from other places. In fact, we're proud of it. So good job.
There's only three of us left, him, me, and you. And we got a great argument from the guy that used to sit in that chair with that. And look at... It's turned out the way we wanted it.
It's turned out to be a wise move, and it took some good things. So sometimes councils make great decisions. So, okay, moving on to the agenda. And Ethan, welcome to Fernell, and welcome to your family.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Okay, so we have a first of two public hearings, time limit on short plats, and we welcome our community development director.
Right, let me just adjust this because she is a little bit shorter than I am. There we go. So the first one, as the mayor said, is an amendment to Chapter 17.12, which is short plats. Briefly, right now, the city of Ferndale does not have any kind of vesting mechanism for short plats, where you could submit a short plat in 1985 and still be vested to the requirements of that short plat today in 2015. What that can do sometimes is create situations where we're dealing with stormwater ponds that are really nothing more than a depression, if they exist at all, and can't enforce our current regulations. And in extreme circumstances, it can turn into something that could, in fact, pose life safety or have environmental impacts on adjacent properties. So what we're doing here is essentially housekeeping. The state authorizes local jurisdictions to make the decision to do this. What we would be doing is ensuring that short plats have the same, and those are for lots that are four lots or less, have the same protections as long plats. So after they're recorded, they would have 5 years through which they would still remain vested to the infrastructure that was installed. After that 5 years, they would need to design and construct infrastructure in conformance with the standards in place at that time. So I'm happy to answer any questions, and it is a public hearing.
So it is a public hearing, so technical questions of staff before we go to the public. Any technical questions? It appears you're getting off easy because you explained it so well.
That's the first.
Okay, so...
it was less than 300 pages.
At 6:12:11, we're going to open up the public hearing. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also have been submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience member who signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at the public hearing. If you're unable to sign up before, you'll be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name, address for the record, and be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. So we have no one signed up. This is also the speech that I will do on the next public hearing, so I don't have to say it twice. But so this is the time anyone from the audience would like to come forward to speak on this unbelievably exciting subject. Yeah! Welcome.
Hi, I'm Linda Twitchell with the Building Industry Association, and just so you know, we put out a note on this to our members on Friday and told them where to go to read the entire, you know, package. And so if you haven't heard responses, by golly, they had a chance. And the one comment I've received is predictability is appreciated. So it's a positive reaction is what I have received so far.
Great. Is that any questions for this guest or? No? Okay. Thank you for saying that. We appreciate that, though. Anyone else from the audience like to speak on the public hearing? Okay, we'll close the public hearing portion at 6:13:49. And awaiting action, I saw the finger up of Councilperson Mutchler at first.
Yuri, thank you for doing this. This is important, so just because we don't discuss it doesn't mean we don't think it's important. But I do move the adoption of Agenda Bill 1510-002.
I
think actually Councilperson Olson had his finger up faster than you again.
Oh, no, I was okay. Just going to get this rolling.
Okay. Okay, so Councilperson first is second, but it's great they're all attentive and enthusiastic to get this done. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the motion carries 5-0. Okay, the next public hearing is revision to FMC 18.76, parking.
Hello again, Council. Lori Burnett, Community Development Director. The Planning Commission has also recommended approval of these changes, and I do want to go into a little bit more detail on what these are and what they aren't. So Chapter 18.76 is where we describe what private and public development has to provide in terms of parking, off of the street. In years past, what we've really focused is the ratios of parking. So if you have a restaurant of 2,000 square feet, how many parking spaces do you need to put in there? We don't look at that at all in this, in these proposals. We believe that council has given staff significant guidance and latitude, where if an applicant were to come in and propose somewhat less than the parking that we require, that we can now enforce and do enforce if they spill out onto other properties or the public right-of-way. So we're not addressing that at this point. We're going to get back to it if we need to at some point in the future. Instead, what we wanted to do is concentrate on two things. Three things, I guess. One of them is a code scrub, where are there outdated language in it. The other one is we hear time and again from applicants, they want certainty, what are your requirements for the dimensional requirements of parking spaces? How wide should this drive aisle be? And what we have had to say is, we don't know. Why don't you go look at Whatcom County, because we've heard that Bellingham tries to kind of social engineer what their parking spaces look like. And applicants have said, well, gosh, it would sure be nice if you could tell us what you would like to see. And so now we are doing that, where what we did is we looked at what other jurisdictions have done all up and down I-5 and throughout Washington State, and we picked the average of what they've required. So we're not going one way, which is saying, you know, you have to have a drive aisle that's at least 100 feet wide, and we're not going the other way that says basically no two cars can pass in that drive aisle. And we include an illustrative depiction of that so that people can quickly understand and see. So this gives folks what they're looking for. It also gives us the ability to better ensure that people aren't going to get hurt in the private parking lots. Because even though it's not our responsibility to enforce, private parking lots are an area where people do sometimes get hit, either themselves or their vehicles, and there are some things that the city can do to minimize that. Also, the city of Ferndale's shopping opportunities are likely going to change in the near future. What we know from personal experience is that when you do go shopping, part of the experience is the experience you have while you're actually in the store shopping, but your experience in the parking lot can also dictate how you remember it. Was it extremely congested? Did that guy steal your spot? Did you have trouble getting out? Did you get hit by a door? One of the things that Ferndale can do to make parking more pleasant in Ferndale, or the shopping experience more pleasant, is to make sure that the parking experience isn't horrible. So that's what we're trying to do here as well. The second part, or third part now, I guess, of what we're doing is Wendy, our stormwater manager, is always reminding staff, and we're reminding you again, that by the end of next year, we need to have reviewed all of our development regulations to determine if we have obstacles to low-impact stormwater development. And in some cases, as we review those, we're going to run up against kind of sacred cows, either ones that you hold dear or feel are very important, or ones that staff holds dear and don't want to make changes. The parking chapter is a good place to start because it doesn't have a lot of stuff that everybody uses. It's kind of silent on that. So we were able to take this through the Planning Commission and now to you, where we've gone through and we've tried to eliminate those barriers to low-impact development. And so an example, and I'll just give you one, that we use is right now our code says that you have to have a continuous curb around the perimeter of a parking lot. And the idea there is it's a curb stop or it's a place where you're not going to have people driving around your parking lot and getting up into your landscaping. But what a continuous curb does is it channels water, where it'll hit that curb and it'll run off down to one centralized detention facility. That in itself is a potential barrier to low-impact development. So what we will now allow, if you adopt this, is the ability to have either the V in the curb, allowing water to flow in or out, to allow you to have the individual curb stops so that it can flow between them, or even to have the curb stops with the little holes in them. There's a lot of different things, and that was the goal of the Planning Commission to allow flexibility, to not mandate that you do low-impact development. But if you want to do low-impact development or if your site demands that you do, we're not going to stand in the way of that. So, again, the Planning Commission recommended approval. Staff recommends approval, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Technical questions of staff, because it is a public hearing. Councilperson Watson.
With the pervious payment, I know that you're not wanting people to have to do it. Is there any way that they would get credit for it stormwater-wise if they used, you know, pervious as opposed to impervious? I know it's hard with our soils with the clay to do that.
I'm not sure if Wendy LaRock can speak to it.
Wendy LaRock, I'm the stormwater manager. During the stormwater civil review, the applicant will go through and propose what they'll do for their plan, and they can get credit through the stormwater management manual from the Department of Ecology.
Okay.
So they'll work through that with their engineer.
So they already have an incentive to try and do pretty.
Yeah, and what you already was talking about is that by the end of next year, we have to basically make all our rules so that the developer has to go through and show Ecology and us why they can't use low-impact development. So,
okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Any other questions of staff? Any technical questions? No, seeing none. Okay, we'll move on to the public hearing part at 6:21:33. Obviously, you heard the talk about the public hearing and your opportunity to speak, so I hope everybody was listening intently and understood that, so I won't have to read it again. Anyone from the audience would like to come forward and speak on this unbelievably exciting subject?
This is exciting.
Okay. So at 6:21:54, we will close the public hearing. And we have an issue before you, Council. Councilperson Olson.
I'd like to move for approval on Agenda Bill 1510-003.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded by Councilperson Ingram. Any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, good job. Okay, so next up we have the revised scope of the Labounty Roundabout design. And I believe we have a world championship caliber tag team of Wendy and Katie who are going to both do this subject. And so we're just happy to have you. And hopefully your wrestling ability is up to the caliber we've heard.
Just ignore him.
Yeah, let's not go there. Good evening, Council. My name is Katie Ratter. This is obviously Wendy LaRock, and we're here to talk to you about the Main and Labounty Roundabout design contract. What we have before you basically is the thought process of staff to look at one area of town that we know that work's already occurring. We had some contracts already to do other work that interconnects, and looking at some opportunities to be efficient and address multiple issues under one contract. That's what we're trying to do here. So basically, if you remember way back in May, which seems like a long time ago, but really wasn't, Council approved the design contract for the Main and Labounty roundabout. And what that would do would be to install a roundabout at the intersection of Main and Labounty in response to the EIS that was developed a while ago for that area. So there are, like I mentioned before, there are other items of work that need to be accomplished basically in that area. One is the project that Wendy's taken a look at. She's recently done a request for qualifications for the stormwater conveyance that would take care of stormwater from the roundabout and convey it to the Nooksack River. There's also the sewer project that I've been working on that's underway for design as far as upgrading the sewer along Labounty, basically from I-5 to Hagen. And we thought that this would be a great opportunity because one item needs to happen before others to combine it into one project so we could be more efficient as far as time goes, save some money as far as design costs with the city, and then ensure that all the design itself works together well. Wendy would like to talk about the project issues.
A couple years ago, I think it was in 2013, the council approved the contract for Reichardt Neeby to do the gateway study. So that was the stormwater study. Basically, that was in response to the EIS. Yuri went through and did the whole EIS process, and Ecology's comment was that the stormwater component was lacking. So for about 2 years, we did inventory, got the gateway study complete. That study showed any deficiencies in that area, and the main areas that we're focusing on for this project is the pipe that's going to go under Main Street from the back of what used to be Cost Center. I'm blanking on the name of Rochelle now, under Main Street, and then it'll come out and head up Riverside. So we'll be doing some ditch work, some grading work, and then also pipe and outfall reconstruction. So basically what that area will allow developers in that area to have is no detention. Kind of a backwards way of saying it. But the rules are that if you're in our area of the Nooksack River, you don't have to detain or do flow control if you treat on site and there's a man-made conveyance from your site to the river.
Councilperson Watson?
I'm sorry. So is that only for the west side of the river? So if someone did development on the other side, will we have to add something there, another pipe?
I think we'll have to do projects on that side, or the developer will likely have to do projects. There's not really a city-owned right-of-way on that, on the east side.
Okay.
On the west side, it's both the city and DOT's property, so we'll be working with the Department of Transportation to get permits to get out there and get the ditch in the order that it needs to be in.
Okay.
I did an RFQ, and we received 4 submittals, and Reichardt Neeby was chosen. Basically, they have the most familiarity with the project because they did the gateway study. So we think it's going to be pretty efficient, like Katie said, to go through and just do this as one big project. Any questions? Any more?
Councilperson Olson?
There won't be any more videos, will there?
Any more videos?
Those traffic roundabout videos that showed so accurately the traffic. And with that, I'd like to move Agenda Bill 1510-004 with the assurances there will be no more videos.
Is that a friendly amendment?
No, I think we can just include that statement. No more videos on that one. Okay. And Councilperson Watson seconded. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Greg didn't get to try on.
No, actually, no such answer.
We didn't recognize you. Okay, well, I guess we do now.
Thank you. I've been here for a long time. Be nice to your public works director.
Thank you to the tag team. You did a good job.
Thank you, Council. I want to thank staff for bringing this forward. A lot of the best ideas do come from staff, and this is one case where I think it's going to be good for the developers, actually, and better even for our finances. But on the finance side, I want to bring up, too, that there's a very good possibility that as we move to design this, especially the storm component, and move potentially in the future into construction, we'll be bringing with you developer reimbursement. That is, we would be the developer. So this stormwater improvements, and in many ways, not only the roundabout, but also the sewer, is meant to serve the entire area there. So there's multiple future developments there that would benefit from this. So my intention is to bring back here in the future a cost reimbursement agreement whereby future development in this area would pay their proportionate share into this. So over time, we have the potential for recouping some of these costs. We can't charge for current deficiencies, but we can charge for increased capacity. And so that's something that we'll be bringing back to you in the future. And so that way, future development, be it incrementally or large scale, will help pay a portion of this cost.
But not the current development that's already put their paperwork in, because they're
exactly invested. Except for the point of the stormwater, we probably will be latecomery because a binding site plan does not. It has to be a building permit. So anyone who's actually people that are currently there, or anyone who takes out a building permit before we come back to you with a cost reimbursement agreement would be subject to this in the future.
So
the cost reimbursement will be the next meeting?
Well, we need to actually design it to get a cost estimate to be able to bring it back to you. But yes, if you remember, we bring back, we had one for bring you a preliminary one, mm-hmm. and then we bring you a final one. So once design is further along, or I should say, once design is far enough along to get a preliminary cost, we'll be bringing something back to you.
So for the record and the public, you know, we had authorized to go forward on the sewer project by combining these three components. What is your guesstimate of savings to the public?
Oh, that's difficult. Katie might have a better idea. A lot of it is coordination, where we will have one contractor that will do all three projects.
So staff time?
And
So in order to address just the rough costs for doing design, if you have, say you have four different projects, this project encompasses the roundabout and encompasses the stormwater outfall that Wendy's working on. It encompasses the sewer, and then it would also then take care of street improvements, basically between Hagen and Nordic Way, and install a traffic light. So just for the design, if you have four different projects, you have to come up with four different methods to bid the project. So you have four sets of plans, four sets of specs, and all that sort of thing. So there's an immediate cost savings, probably $15,000 right there. By having the projects combined into one large project, if and when council decides that, okay, we have this bid package and we're ready to go out, bid it all as one project, then you have one contractor on site. There's an efficiency as far as traffic and impacted adjacent property owners, because if you have four different projects going, you're terrorizing, probably the wrong word, but that's what it feels like sometimes, is you're terrorizing the public once, maybe for a longer period of time, but at least it's coordinated. You know, the other savings that you can realize is if Wendy's designing an outfall here and the connection to an existing project over here is not organized and you got two different contractors out there and that guy touched my stuff and who's going to, you know, it turns into that kind of thing. And so there's efficiency there as well. So it's kind of hard to quantify, but it does make it quite a bit easier. A big project is challenging to manage, but then at least you know that I don't have to work with four different people in order to get this one result. I know that I'm working with one known entity and can kind of puppet master it through a little bit more simply. So,
how many private property owners are you talking about
that would be impacted by the project? You know, we haven't really counted those up specifically, but you're talking about a project that goes from, you know, The sewer project starts basically at I-5 there at, say, where the Whatcom Farmers Co-op is. So then that would tie into the roundabout, which, you know, there's people all the way around there. And then the drainage project basically goes down Riverside all the way to the river along the west side of I-5. So there's a lot of property owners there.
Yeah. And everybody who drives them.
Correct.
So, special compliments to staff. This was staff-driven. Staff brought it forward to combine the projects. I think it should be noted, for the record, it will lengthen the project, but it will be more efficient in the long run. So it will take, I know council, you know, will be the one sometimes that bears the brunt of somebody upset, but this really was a good move in terms of the public's money, in terms of their taxation, and getting a project done right, but it will add some more stress to our citizens. So hopefully we've given enough of you an ammunition where if someone talks to you, you'll be able to talk to them. But great thing. That's what's the great about having a small staff where they kind of work together and say, well, what about this idea? And it was like, oh, that is a good idea. So great job. Thank you very much. So So great job. What's that?
We're moving on.
Yes. Okay. Ordinance, fee deferment revisions.
Yori Burnett, Community Development Director. The state of Washington this year had received, I believe from the Building Industry Associations of Washington, support to ensure that jurisdictions throughout Washington State allow applicants to defer their impact fees associated with building permits until as late in the process as possible. And the state of Washington adopted legislation that goes into effect next year in 2016 that says that all jurisdictions do need to come up with a fee deferment program. thanks to council, City of Ferndale's had a fee deferment program for about 3.5 years. And it's been successful for some. It hasn't been used by others, but it is an opportunity or an option that applicants have. So that put us in a kind of unique position where we don't really need to change a whole bunch to fully comply with state law. So what we're bringing to you today are changes to a variety of chapters, really all of the chapters that have impact fees, where the ordinance that you would adopt would give the nuts and bolts of the process. That way we don't need to change 4 or 5 chapters if for some reason the state wants to change their mind, which sometimes happens. So this way we can only just change that ordinance and we'd still be pretty much good to go. There were a couple options that the city did have, or some changes from where we are right now, where state law says that cities could say, okay, you can defer your fees until certificate of occupancy. This is just for residential development. Until certificate of occupancy. You could defer them until the first sale, or you could defer them until request for final inspection. We've always allowed the deferral to the request for final inspection. We don't track sales, and we don't issue certificates of occupancy for single family. That made it clear for staff, at least, keep it where it is right now. No one's complained. It is reasonable. The other thing that the law does is it says, for the first time, really, that the fees have to be paid within 18 months of deferral. Right now, we have some residential permits that can last for 4 years and 9 months or longer, perhaps. This way, if they do choose that deferral option, they need to pay those fees by 18 months or else they're out of luck. The last thing, and this is a change for the City of Ferndale, and it will only be a change for these fees, so we're also including a change to the fee ordinance as well that states this. They can vest to the fees in place at the time of deferral. Right now, for everything that city says, you only vest to the fees at the time that you pay them. So if I want to go and buy a gallon of milk, I pay what's at today's prices. I can't say next week it's going to be less or last week it was more. I pay right then for the product, the price on the product. What this allows you to do if you defer is to take that price of the product and keep that in place for up to 18 months. That way it more or less incentivizes that deferral option and doesn't add in additional costs the city could put in there. That's it in a nutshell. It is essentially housekeeping, but my understanding is that the City of Ferndale would be the first community in Whatcom County to do this.
So I'll go before we questions of staff, and I'll ask if the audience has any statements. So question of staff, I saw Councilperson Olson was twitching before you were.
I don't recall hearing the part about deferring. I thought if you paid it 18 months, you pay what's currently at 18 months, not what was 18 months back. That's kind of, I didn't hear that in committee.
I apologize if I might have not been clear in committee, but that is one of the main objectives of the state law, is it is clear that, and we asked about this. We asked Dannon where we said, this is different. We have to do it.
Oh, so we don't have any choice?
No.
Oh.
Well, if we want to comply.
Huh?
If we want to comply with it.
Okay.
We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice.
Speak of the retired law enforcement officer. Councilperson Watson.
So this is still optional for everyone, right? They don't have to do it. They don't have to take part in the deferral program if they don't want to.
You are correct.
Okay.
Any other questions or statements from? Okay. We'll go to the audience. Would anyone in the audience like to speak about this? No? No? Even the BIA has no comment, other than she's smiling. Okay. Okay. Issue before you, Council. Councilperson Musler.
Yeah, I move the adoption of Agenda Barrel 1510-005.
Moved and seconded by Councilperson Bursch. Any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Council. Okay, so next up, this is a resolution brought forward by Councilperson Goodrich, I believe.
Yes.
And so Councilperson Goodrich is not here, so would anyone with the council like to speak on this resolution tonight? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? Anyone? No? Okay. So, no.
Any activity?
It's before you. I mean, but unless they, well, it is a resolution, so I guess we can vote on it then.
We don't have to do anything.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't have to make a motion or anything.
Yeah.
I will say that there was an addition based on our conversation at Public Safety and Neighborhood Services.
Thank you. I did
that we did add a line to it about the.
How many cities have options done this
resolution? One that I know of, and that's Linden.
I personally don't have any interest in doing it myself. I mean, when we voted 7-0, I think that says that we support the jail.
Councilor Olson?
And I will abstain in my longstanding tradition of not telling people how to vote, so I won't vote yes or no.
Okay. And we actually, technically, we don't have to. I mean, help me out here, Mr. Farley.
We don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless you bring it forward, it just
withers on the vine.
Okay. So I see no movement to bring it forward. So this, we are moving on in the agenda. Not that we don't support jails.
I know why he's gone, but it's not a happy
one. Okay, so next up is ordinance, the formation of the Community Center Advisory Board, now called the CCAB. And I would go to our lovely Mr. Riley Sweeney to tell us all about this.
I recommend it to be called SCAB.
What would the S be for?
Society for the Center.
Okay.
So, this should not be new material to you. Third time on the charm. As discussed in committee, this would be the formation of a board to oversee the Pioneer Pavilion. It has five members. Two of them are nonprofits. One of them is a member of either the Old Settlers Society, Old Settlers, or Heritage. Old Settlers or Heritage. And the other two are members of the public, the fifth person being from the chamber.
Councilperson Birch was the fastest on her right hand.
I move we accept this, approve this ordinance. Second.
Councilperson Olson?
This is a deviation from our normal, must be more than one, or more, greater percentage of city residents as opposed to outside residents. There's no mention of anything about city residents being on this. And so it's completely possible we could have five people who live in the county telling us what to do with a city-owned function. And for that, I will not support it.
Councilperson Mutzler?
Yeah. The mayor would be appointing these positions. The council would have to approve that. There's plenty of safeguards, and I will be supporting the measure.
Okay, further discussion? Councilperson Ingram.
Would it be possible to add that language? Because I playing the same card I played in the Metropolitan Parks District. I don't like people in the county telling the city what to do. So if we could just put that one sentence in there,
so the
majority of members on this board must be residents of the city of Ferndale.
I would accept that and then vote for it.
Okay. We would like to put this issue to bed, so I think we have a moment and a second. So, Councilperson Watson, do you want to speak on this?
No, I'm just curious. So you have a place. I'm looking for where it says school board. I mean, not school board, school district. Wasn't
school district, there? Yeah. Okay. Some requirements.
So.
Yeah, the members of this board are required to be part of the Ferndale School District.
I would support the motion, though.
Okay. And support the motion and the amendment?
Motion and the amendment.
Okay.
An amendment hasn't been made yet.
I made an amendment.
And I'll second his amendment.
Okay.
I didn't hear.
Okay, we'll let you get caught up. You're clear. It was okay. Councilperson Mutchler?
I think this is a mistake, and I'll give the example of the Parks Board. We have a Parks Board. How many on the Parks Board are city residents?
All.
No, I don't think.
Yes, because it's a city limits Parks Board.
No.
Oh, your Park Recreation Trails Advisory Board?
Thank you.
No, you are correct.
Yes. And
I think you're hamstringing yourselves when you do things like this. And people that, if they care about the center, they care about the park, they care about it, whether they live in the city or not. So I can't support the motion. I think you're making things more difficult for the next mayor and for council.
Councilperson Watson?
Point of clarification to the Mr. Olson. So when you say majority, you mean three of them have to be. Okay. So because the chamber person does rarely lives in the city, so that only gives you the other four. So three out of those four are going to have to live in the city. So.
That would be the correct math. Councilperson Mutchler?
Every step we take to define each position, nonprofit, profit, chamber, whatever, in RISA, it narrows the pool down every time you do it. And we've time and time again seen it's difficult to find people to do these things. I just sort of feel people volunteering to do stuff, they generally can have the interests of the community center or the parks, whatever it is. I think it's a noble idea in an ideal world, but you're going to make it more difficult to find volunteers for these positions.
Okay, there's a motion, a second before you. Any further discussion on the amendment to the original motion? Okay, seeing none, I think we'll go roll call vote on that, just to be sure.
Just on the amendment.
Just on the amendment.
All right, Councilmember Watson?
No.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Ingram?
Yes.
Councilmember Mutchler?
No.
Councilmember Birch?
No.
Okay, so the amendment fails, and on to the original motion. Any further discussion on the original motion? Okay, seeing none, I don't think we need a roll call on that then. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries 3-2.
It's a resolution, right?
Yes.
Yeah, with Councilperson Olson and Ingram voting no.
It's an ordinance.
Okay, thank you.
You're correct, yeah.
Okay, so moving on to mayor reports. So Saturday at 10 a.m., I'm inviting all of you. The description is, help me, clerk.
Sister City Ceremonial Cherry Tree Center.
Sure. And don't ask me this.
No. Same
with Haiku. Mimi Mimoso City.
The mayor.
This is a nice invitation, but unfortunately, I'll be conducting the Ferndale Community Meal at 10 o'clock.
And we thank you
for
that.
Bring them over.
We should. Good idea.
I'm serious. It's ravioli.
Yeah. Ooh. Is there a tie between Japanese and ravioli?
I don't. Yeah, actually. Probably the Italians stole it from the pot stickers.
So, Councilperson Watson, would you be able to immediately contact Marla Mora, and maybe we can save things by going to the community meal rather than her house? Or?
Sure, that might be easier. I'll let Marla know.
Yeah, okay.
She might want to have them in her house.
I know. That's why she's suggesting it. That's why we're...
I'll let her know, because I don't know if she was planning any kind of tea ceremony or something at her house, but I'll let her know that the community meal is a nice option, too.
And tell her that, to help her, that Councilperson Ingram would gladly join her in doing a haiku at the community meal.
Like a poetry slam?
Okay.
All
right.
And he's acting like he's excited about that endeavor.
He's acting like he didn't hear you.
No, he heard me clearly, and he I want to know, for the record, he was smiling about it.
I might bring my summarize.
All right, well, now we're getting wild here. On a sad note, but on the 17th, 1 o'clock at Moles Funeral Home, there's a service for our unbelievably great volunteer on the our visitor center. And so, great lady, wonderful things on the 17th at 1 p.m. at Moles Funeral Home.
Barb Simeon.
So, if you can make it, that'd be great. So, council reports. Councilperson Birch.
And there's a reception immediately following at Moles for Barb. The Ferndale Public Market, their last Sunday is this coming Sunday, the 11th. And it's going to be a harvest festival in conjunction with the Downtown Association. So everybody come, geared up for a good time, and lots of activity.
In the rain.
Oh, microphone. It's been an awesome summer for them.
Wow, me. Maybe the weather service, 88% chance.
Okay, any other council reports? No? Seeing none? Okay, staff reports. Finance director.
Nothing.
City Administrator slash Public Works Director.
Slash nothing.
Okay. Community Development Director.
We did want to share some of the projects that we are working on at the city. Sometimes you hear just about the subdivisions or the ones that are possibly frustrating us or taking up more time. But this has been really helpful for us, where it's primarily public works and community development or planning stuff, where we on a fairly regular basis go through and check the status of these projects to make sure that they keep on going through. But as you can see, just by looking at the location, they're all over the city. They're all types of different projects. They don't include projects that are kind of hanging out there or that have been approved and building permits haven't come in. Things like Blacks for Life, UCAN Trade, Kidney Center, Interfaith Clinic, a dance training facility, and then a commercial development on Eaton Street. There's a whole bunch of projects. Some have building permits, some aren't there yet, but this is one of the reasons why we are busy and one of the reasons why we felt so confident bringing you a variety of projects for the city to take on, because Ferndale is the fastest growing community in Western Washington outside of King County.
The hearing examiner, if there's something going on this week, is the hearing examiner?
The hearing examiner on Thursday, and I apologize, I don't remember if it's in the daytime or in the evening, is going to be considering a new subdivision at Malloy Village that the council will ultimately get a chance to look at yourselves.
Separate from this PUD here that says under construction?
That one, Malloy Village, had three phases that were constructed. Then it expired. They still had a big hill of dirt and spoils from the first one, so they asked if they could not distribute that surplus dirt in the remainder so that they didn't have erosion and other stuff going on. That's what they're doing now.
Well, that's what this is.
So
correct.
Riverside Drive Bastion, is that public?
Yes, would be the short answer.
Yes.
Sure. Yes.
The fast food, the fast
hand? Yes.
Okay, anything else?
Just real quick, have we heard anything from the Riverside? I mean, the sign has been there for years now, and I know when Serge passed away, so is...
So, our understanding is the overall concept remains the same. They do want to do it. They want to do it right, and they knew that Serge was probably at step 40 when he should have been at step 1 or 2. The fast food on Riverside gives them some funding to continue forward, where they have to do a lot of environmental stuff, floodplain modeling, things like that. But that's the kind of first step. The Mainland Bounty Roundabout knows about the potential for that sort of development, and we're anticipating, we've worked closely with them.
So that'll be worked into the roundabout design?
It will.
The possibility of extra traffic. Okay.
Okay, anything else? No? Okay. Clerk's office?
Nothing.
Yeah, it's, I'm sure you're all aware it was kind of a busy media week last week. and I just wanted to acknowledge our local media, Discover Ferndale, and I assume Ferndale Record, for helping facilitate part of that community discussion, because it's an ongoing community discussion. And as will the city continue to play a role in that.
I like the FAQ.
Thank you. Teamwork there. Yeah. Reorganized. So, yes, feel free to share that out. It has all the answers.
All the answers.
I forgot one, but I talked to the Record Journal about it because it's kind of a neat story. We've had so many volunteers working on our section of park, of Vandiot Park, and we have a dynamic speaking young Eagle Scout who has taken over the project. He calls me about two or three times a day, so he's very thorough. And so if you go drive by there, it's been cleared, it's been seeded. I think he's gotten everybody in the community involved. I can't, you know, it's like a high school ag class, two churches, his brother, his sister, girlfriend, mother, father. Looks great. There's a picnic table on the site, so we don't have to worry about someone launching golf balls into the river anymore because the picnic table's there. It's already been graffitied. So he was very upset when he called it. Somebody's written on my picnic table. It was less than 24 hours. Like, oh, welcome to Ferndale. But a great little thing, so if you get to see it, it'll be great. So
maybe we can get a little award, bring him in, and give him something.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Of course, he has to finish the trail,
And what was it? He has to finish all this by the time he's 18.
He's got only to have to
And like a lot of teenagers, I said, well, you know, when do you have to do this? He goes, oh, I've got at least 3 months. It's no hurry at all. And then his mother said, yes, he is. He has a hurry. So anyway, so kind of a cute little job. Police left, so we're done with that one. So we'll end with pursuant to RCW 42.30.110I and G, we will now enter an executive session to discuss potential litigation and review the police lieutenant's proposed collective bargaining agreement. This session will last approximately 30 minutes. Action will be taken after the session.